Welcome to another edition of the 40 Minutes of Tell podcast. This is a special edition because we've got the legend with us, Bob Holt, longtime Arkansas basketball beat writer. I'm Jimmy Carter, but Bob, really appreciate you talking with us.
Yeah, is that just another way of saying I'm old, really old?
No. I mean, you were around for like the original 40 Minutes of Tell, right?
Yeah. I covered Eddie Sutton. My first season on the beat was, I guess, 81, 82. So Eddie Sutton was right in the middle of his time here. And I covered guys like Darrell Walker and Joe Klein and Scott Hastings. And then, you know, Nolan Richardson replaced Eddie Sutton. And they brought 40 Minutes of Hell and covered guys like Day and, you know, Mayday and Oliver Miller and Ronnie Brewer, and got through the Stan Heath era and the...
Yeah, you made it through both of those.
Yeah, and then covered Mike Anderson. I remember when Mike was a young GA, and now he's going into, I think, his 16th year as a major college head coach. He was, of course, an assistant, longtime assistant here for Nolan Richardson. So, yeah, I guess going back to the early 80s, I've been around.
So you're going to be, I don't know, unfortunately or fortunately for you, we both just got back from Tuscaloosa this weekend covering football, but you got to turn right back around and head to Nashville. When are you leaving, like tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm leaving Tuesday.
No rest for the weary.
Yeah, I guess. One thing when you drive, you're not locked in, but you kind of want to hit, you know, Nashville. I don't know why. I mean, it's a big city. I get that, but it seems like the traffic around there is like New York or something.
Right.
So either want to get there before 4 or after 6, so I'll probably try to get in there early evening after rush hour. And then they do the men's media days Wednesday with all the coaches, and I think each team brings two players, and then they do the women's teams the next day.
You know who Arkansas is bringing? I would assume Macon and Barford.
But I should have confirmed that. I emailed the SEC this morning about a list of guys and girls that are going to be there, guys and gals, ladies, whatever. I don't want to be politically correct here.
It's not offending anyone, but no.
Males and females, and I hadn't heard back yet. But, yeah, I would assume it would be Barford and Macon, but I don't know that for sure.
Are you a Nashville fan? Like, where does that rank in your SEC city hierarchy?
I think Nashville's a really nice city. I mean, it is really a true city. I mean, you think about the SEC, you know, Baton Rouge is pretty big, and it got a lot bigger after Katrina.
Yeah.
And Columbia, South Carolina, you know, where we were a couple weeks ago, is really big. Lexington's a good-sized city. But Nashville's really the only city in the SEC with pro sports, like they've got the NFL and the NHL, which always seems weird to me to think of an NHL team in Nashville, Tennessee.
Right.
But, yeah, there's a lot of fun things to do there. Usually I'm there working, covering, a basketball tournament. And, you know, if you think, oh, I'll find some time to go do this or do that, really when you're working, you never do. So, actually, about 3 years ago, I went and spent a few days there in the summer, and I did things like I toured the Ryman Auditorium. I'm not a big country music guy. I mean, I like, good.
Who's your favorite country music artist? Putting you on the spot, but
I'm gonna say Johnny Cash, because
okay.
I remember as a kid, this is way before your time, but he used to have a TV show, and I think he maybe did it from Nashville, but I'm not sure. I'm sure he could have done wherever he wanted to, but yeah, Johnny Cash. I know he doesn't have the greatest voice, I guess, maybe the purest voice, but
you got the grunge though. It's kind of, he's got that like edge to his voice.
Yeah, like Ring of Fire and you know, his songs, you could always understand them. They always had a strong message, you know, the Man in Black. They actually have a Johnny Cash Museum in Nashville. And when I went there a few years ago, you can go in the gift shop without having to, like anything else in Nashville or most of these other cities, it's not cheap. I want to say it was about $15 or $20. And you're thinking, wow, if I go through here and see it 10 minutes, that's really a waste of money. So I was in the gift shop, and the guy came out of the museum part, and I said, well, man, is it worth it? And he said, well, if you like Johnny Cash, you got to do it. So I said, okay. So I did, and it was pretty cool. They had a lot of neat displays, and they had, what I liked was you could go up to little kiosks, I guess you'd call them, but there'd be video of him singing from back in the 50s or 60s, even 70s, and you could put the headphones on and just listen to the songs, and the quality was pretty good. So you could see him doing these live performances. And
oh, that's pretty cool.
It was cool. It had a lot of artifacts. He's from Arkansas, of course. They had like his Air Force uniform. Some people might think, well, who cares about Johnny Cash's Air Force uniform? But I thought it was pretty cool. I went to the Ryman Auditorium, and you know, they've got a Parthenon there. I didn't know this. I must have been to Nashville like 15 times before I knew there was a replica of the Parthenon that's in a park there near Vanderbilt. So I'm not trying to sound like the Chamber of Commerce here, but
yeah, you're really pitching me hard here on Nashville.
I think Nashville's a really cool city, and it's obviously within, you know, it's not an easy drive, but you can, you know, if you go from here, you stop in Little Rock, stop in Memphis, get to Nashville, there's things to do in those cities, you know, see the Clinton Library or go eat some Rendezvous ribs and stuff. So, yeah, I think Nashville's a pretty cool city.
For sure. Well, you'll be there for a couple of days before you get back for, I mean, Red White's Friday. So we're almost at the start of the season. But you're in Nashville for SEC Media Days. Both of us had votes for the preseason All-SEC team, the predicted order of finish. So let's go through those. We got a football media deal to get to here in a second, so we're going to have to be kind of brief. But let's go through it. I'll let you go first. Who'd you pick for SEC Player of the Year, preseason Player of the Year?
I picked Robert Williams from A&M.
I think he has a really good chance to win it, probably.
Yeah, because I think he's a nice mix. He's obviously got a lot of talent, but he's also got his feet wet last year. And he was, you know, a pretty heralded recruit, but he wasn't one of those superstar guys like you heard about. Like, he's definitely one and doneer. And then the kind of year he had, he could have gone. I don't think there's any question he would have been a first-round pick.
He would have been a lottery pick,
I think,
probably.
He would have been a lottery pick. You know, once these guys declare, they really get scrutinized and scouts go over everything. But, yeah, I think he was projected to go top 10, top 12. And so A&M is very fortunate he came back. I think, you know, if he didn't feel like he was ready, I commend the kid and his family for deciding to come back. Because, you know, the NBA, it's not just the money you're getting. It's a whole basketball goals. I mean, basketball in college, especially at the SEC level, it's a business. But when you're in the NBA, it's really a business. I mean, you know, you're there getting paid, and it's a job. And so it's hard for maybe a 20-year-old to grasp, do all those things. And he apparently felt he wasn't ready, maybe emotionally, even physically. And so I commend him for coming back. And if he has the kind of year that you think he should have, he could be the number one pick or maybe top five pick.
Yeah, I think he's in the running of guys that are – there's probably six or seven guys that have a chance to maybe make a push for that top pick, and he's one of them. It'll be interesting because he's one of those guys that, I mean, so much of what he did last year was, man, this guy's really long. He's really athletic, and I think that was why he was a lottery pick, was just based off of, you know, what people thought he could be, like the tools that he had, like, oh, he's kind of raw, but we can mold him into that. So you come back for your sophomore year, people are going to expect you to be, like, much more – well-rounded, as far as they're going to be, all right, has he improved his jumper? Has he gotten better? So that'll be interesting to see. Because if he hasn't done that, then he could hurt himself. But if he has, then like you said, he could maybe be a top three, top four pick somewhere in there.
Yeah, you hope this thing was well thought out and that, you know, he
helps
A&M
for sure.
You know, definitely. And then they said, okay, you know, here's why I'm coming back. I'm coming back because I want to improve. His defensive game was really calling card. And he really even wasn't that aggressive offensively early in the year. And they really wanted to be more aggressive. So, number one, you want to see him just be more aggressive offensively. Like you say, you know, improve your jump shot, your range a little bit, although his game's obviously around the basket. But just a really skilled guy, a rim protector, a shot alterer, guy that can do it on both ends of the floor. So you would hope if he came back that he's really working hard to improve his game, which I assume he is.
Right. And not to spoil anything, but both of us had the Aggies pretty high. You a little bit higher than me, but we'll get to that in a second. I went with Colin Sexton as my preseason player of the year. I just feel like he's Alabama. If Avery Johnson's going to turn this around and going to have a breakout year, it needs to be this year, because he's got a nice mix of guys coming back, and you add John Petty, Colin Sexton, two freshmen who are really good, and Colin Sexton's going to be the point guard. He's gonna score, which is something they had a lot of trouble doing last year, and run the show, and he can get others involved. He's another one of those guys. Him and Robert Williams are. It's kind of weird. This isn't a year that Kentucky has like a surefire top five draft pick. Colin Sexton and Robert Williams are the two guys that consensus are projected to go high. I think he'll be somebody who gets a lot of credit for Alabama turning the corner, so to speak, under Avery. And I think they'll be, I don't know where you put them, but we'll get to that. But I think he'll be pretty good.
Yeah, he's a point guard, so he obviously can impact the game a lot.
And right.
One thing about Robert Williams was I think he finally has a point guard, which is another reason I think he's going to have
a great year. Our boy. We can both claim J.J. Caldwell. Real quick, let's go through who else did you have on the team?
On the all-conference team, I had Michael Porter Jr.
Everybody. I'm wrong. I was wrong. Colin Sexton and Robert Williams are not the two top guys. I don't know how Michael Porter probably is the number one or two pick right now if the draft were today.
He's kind of this year's Ben Simmons. Obviously, Missouri's hoping the season turns out better. And I'm sure whoever picks him in the draft hopes that he doesn't, you know, break his foot or whatever Ben Simmons did.
Johnny Jones isn't in Columbia, so they might be in good shape.
I think they're going to be. I think Kyle Martin's a pretty good coach. But, yeah, Michael. So, yeah, and I had the Alabama kid and Michael Porter Jr. and Robert Williams. Then, you know, with Kentucky, you know, there's so many guys.
Yeah.
You figure, okay, somebody's gonna pop. I picked Kevin Knox as he's a 6'9" skill guy, a big man with skills. And then I picked Kayvon Allen from Florida, who's an Arkansas kid. Maybe I was showing some Arkansas, state of Arkansas favoritism there, but I think he's a really good player. He's going into his third year. He does a lot of things well. So I understand the game today is these one-and-doners come in.
Yeah.
Or I guess in Robert Williams' case, maybe a two-and-done. But
I think some old guys.
I think you have some older guys. And there were some other older guys I thought about, too. And so I decided to go with Kayvon Allen because I think he's a pretty high-level player, and he's also got a lot of good experience now.
I went with Kayvon, too. I put Michael Porter on there because he's going to get a lot of shots. They're going to need him to play a big role. And then one of the older guys that I'm sure you probably thought about was Yonte Mayton from Georgia, and I put him on my first team. He was a beast last year, got hurt. Kind of worked out maybe better for Georgia that he got hurt for this year. Obviously, last year it didn't. You know, they might have made the tournament if he didn't go down. But if he didn't go down, he also might have gone – he might have been drafted and gone pro. But he's back, and I don't know how good Georgia will be, but he's one of the better – he's got to be one of the top two or three returning players in the conference.
I think I actually wrote him down and crossed him off and
– Oh, he didn't
and,
make the cut.
Put somebody else – I think he's a great player. I do wonder about the supporting cast around him.
Without J.J. Frazier, that's hard.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, that was big because I think he would have been drafted. I don't know if he'd have been a first-round pick. I think he definitely would have been a second-round pick. Might have been picked at the end of the first round. It is kind of crazy these days where NBA teams, and I get this is why the kids, I think, come out when they – I mean, that's why I think a choice like Robert Williams to come back is so rare because, like you said, if he doesn't have the big year everybody expects, he might actually drop.
Right.
And his stock might drop. It's not – I mean, I don't say he wouldn't be a first-round pick or something, but he might say, okay, if he'd come out last year, he'd have been the 10th pick. You know, let's say, or 12th pick or whatever. Well, if he has a so-so year, if he has, you know, with such high expectations, if he has a disappointing year by the standards expected, he might go, you know, 25th.
Right.
And that's a lot of money difference. So, well, he's taking a calculated risk coming back. But, I like, you know, it's great to have talent. You need talent. But experience is nice, too.
Kayvon's obviously really good. I think there's a case to be made that Darryl Macon is – as good on that same level as Kayvon, and that'll be the thing that, you know, we both cover Arkansas, so Arkansas people are like, well, why didn't you vote for Jalen or Darryl? Were you close at all? Because I didn't really seriously consider putting either of them on there. I think both of them, so we only get 5 picks for this, right? So at the end of the year when there's a second team and you get more guys, I think they both have a good chance of being on that, on the end of the season team. But, I mean, were you close at all to putting either one of them on this team?
Probably not on the first team. You know, it's funny, SEC football, they do 3 teams a day,
right.
So of course it's football. So you have like, I don't know, 50 guys or something if you count the kickers. And in basketball, they do 1 team. Of course, when it comes out at the end of the year, they might do an 8 or 9 man first team because they do votes. But
right, you got almost 20 guys on that team.
Yeah, I don't have any doubts that Darryl Macon and Jalen Barford are both going to be really good players and impact players. And you know, definitely if there was a third team, no doubt, they're among the top 15 guys in the league, and maybe some second team consideration too. But at this point, I just couldn't put either of them among those top 5 guys. But that doesn't mean they won't make it by the end of the year. And if they play well enough and earn it, they'll be there.
Right. That means Arkansas will have had a really good year. All right, Bob, tell us why you like Texas A&M so much and why you picked them to win the conference.
You know, I did a Blue Ribbon, shameless plug here, for the Blue Ribbon
Don't
magazine.
Don't buy it. It's good.
Well, it's not cheap, but it is by far the most complete book out there. And if you want to know about some of these non-conference teams that Arkansas is playing, if you want to know about Bucknell, you know,
right.
You're not going to read a whole lot about Bucknell and Street and Smith's or whatever. I mean, not that you won't read a little bit, but if you want a really complete thing.
You get like 1,000 words of Bucknell.
Yeah, they really cover every team in the all 300, whatever it is. I mean, but I did the A&M one for him, along with Arkansas and Missouri, and so I talked to Billy Kennedy for about 30 minutes. He was very gracious with his time, generous with his time. And I always liked A&M's big men, you know, Robert Williams, obviously, and Tyler Davis, and Tony Morales.
What's the first part of the hyphenated name? We were struggling with this earlier. Troca Morales? I don't know.
I'm just going to call him Tony.
Okay.
I can't screw that up. With 2 N's. And they had a great front line. I mean, how many college teams have 3, 6, 10 guys that are really good?
Right.
But what they were – and they had some good wing players too, but what they were missing was a point guard. That would have been J.J. Caldwell last year, except he was – he wasn't eligible. He was homeschooled, and I guess the NCAA had some issues with that. But he had practiced with them all year. And Billy Kennedy, you know, coaches, they, if anything, they usually talk down, talk their guys down a little bit. And he was just really enthusiastic about what J.J. Caldwell was going to do and what a difference maker he would have been last year and what a difference maker he's going to be this year. So now he got suspended for the first five games.
Yeah.
And he got a DWI in the spring that came to light. So hopefully, whenever he gets on the court, if he can stay on the court, then I think he's going to make A&M a real force. I just really like the combination of the Aggies' skill and experience on the front line and then the talent they've got in the backcourt, not just with him, but he's obviously going to be the number one guy. I mean, basically, the Aggies were like a real good football team last year without a quarterback.
Exactly.
Now I think they got a quarterback.
Yeah, I put them second, and so I think we're both, you know, they went 16-15 last year, had a losing conference record, so we're both banking super hard on J.J. Caldwell. Good for anyone who hasn't seen him, go look up his AAU reels, and obviously that's not the end-all, be-all, but you can kind of get a grasp for it. He's super quick. He's got just like Allen Iverson, not Allen Iverson level, but he's got a great crossover, and man, you put him with those bigs, I think there's going to be a lot of alley-oops, a lot of stuff. And like you said, it lets guys like DJ Hogue and Admon Gilder, who were, you know, okay last year, but had to handle the ball a bunch. Now they right. can kind of slide off ball and do other things.
So they had guys playing out of position. And
yeah.
And like I say, and Billy Kennedy, he was just so enthusiastic about what this guy could do, and I'm drinking the egg Kool-Aid. I guess we'll see if that's a mistake or not.
So I'm assuming did you put Kentucky two? I put Kentucky one, and the thing, like, they've got like 8 5-star guys, so it's not like they don't have talent, but it seems like, you know, they don't have that surefire superstar guy. You don't know who. They're such a star-driven program, and you don't know who necessarily is going to be. It's not like there's a Malik Monk or De'Aaron Fox. We're like, yeah, that guy's going to carry the team, but I mean, I know you've looked at them, and no, they've got so much length, man. Like, they've got, like, guys who are 6'9 with 40-inch verticals. They had their pro day the other day, and it was just an insane – it's like a wealth of guys who can just jump out of the gym.
Yeah, Kentucky's always loaded, but usually they'll have a sophomore and junior that kind of lead the pack. And
only Wendian Gabriel. He's the only guy.
Yeah, and he really wasn't yeah. much of a factor last year. So, and, you know, of course, everybody thinks it's so easy to win in Kentucky because of the recruits they bring in, and they do have talent without a doubt. But you also got to make those guys, you know, mesh them into a team because right. they're all used to being the star. So I credit John Calipari with being able to – because, you know, I mean, they'll have a player who averages 10 points and is a lottery pick.
Right. Carl Anthony Towns played like 20
yeah.
minutes a game.
Yeah.
He's like the best
big
in the NBA.
He's the number one pick. He's one of the top players for the Timberwolves. So, a lot of, you know, some coaches can't do that. I mean, you look at Ben Simmons, number one overall pick. LSU didn't make the NCAA tournament. Now, LSU didn't have, you know, 5 or 6 Ben Simmons. But
right.
But my point is that it's not always easy to take great talent, and you look at what Phil Jackson did with the Bulls and the Lakers. You say, "Wow!" But they weren't. The Lakers were kind of a mess before Phil Jackson got there. So, you know, there's a certain skill of taking great talent and making it into a great team.
Yeah, he's
and
done
so,
that.
And I think Kentucky's not. They'll be good. And they'll go to the NCAA tournament. They'll probably be a high seed. I decided to go outside the box a little bit. If anyone wins, I'll look real smart.
Yeah.
And if they don't, nobody will remember that I picked A&M. Hopefully.
Yeah, bank on that. Yeah, I just wonder about, you know, does Kentucky have enough point guard play? Shooting, it's kind of a question mark. Who'd you put three?
I put Florida three just because I think, you know, they have, like, so we were talking about Kayvon Allen. They got a nice combination of guys coming back. I think, you know, Mike White's going into, I guess, his third year there now. So I think they're
right.
a pretty settled program. No, actually, I'll tell you what, I put Missouri third. I'm sorry.
Oh, Florida, Homer. Fourth. Homer pick.
No.
You want the free Shakespeare's whenever you go back up to Missouri.
I put Missouri third because I just think they have a great wealth of talent. Kenzo Martin, he basically brought in like a Kentucky Duke kind of class.
So he's going to have to do what Cal does and mold all those guys into a deal. But, man,
sure. Well, he's also got to get those guys, and he's got some players coming back like Kevin Puryear and Terrence Phillips. They've got some guys that have lost a whole lot of games but I think are pretty decent players.
Yeah.
They're just kind of beaten down. Well, hopefully the cavalry's arrived now, you know, and the siege is – the city's no longer under siege or whatever.
They need something positive.
And they can break out. So I think it'll be interesting to see how he meshes these talent, but guys that have not experienced many wins with the talent he's got coming in. And also Kenzo Martin, he's a proven coach. You know, he's won at Missouri State, Tennessee, Cal. And I think he'll win at Missouri. He didn't just bring in the Porter brothers, and of course he hired their dad. But a lot of people wanted to hire their dad.
Right, given the opportunity, a lot of people.
And he brought in some other talent. I picked Florida fourth.
Okay. I had Bama third. I'm big on Bama. They had the best defense in the conference, top 10 in the country. I just think you add in two guys who are really good offensively, and they've got a couple other guys too that they bring in, and man, I just really like what they have the potential to be. Whether they're there, that's kind of what you say for all these teams. You don't really know. But if Avery Johnson can't get it done this year, then you start to think, man, I don't know. You said you had Florida four.
I had Florida fourth, kind of what I mentioned. I think they've got a nice mix of experience and talent, and Mike White's in his third year.
I like Mike White a lot.
Yeah, I think Florida's going to be pretty good.
I think that, so if you put Florida four, then you're not buying into the, there are multiple things that I've seen where they're like a top 10 team, and I don't know if I buy that. They lost a lot of stuff. Devin Robinson, what was the little point guard's name? Casey Hill,
right.
Justin Leon, Conway native, Canyon Berry, they lost.
Yeah, right, and those guys, none of those guys are going to be NBA stars. Devin Robinson actually wasn't drafted,
right.
I don't believe, so you wish he would have, for his sake, he would have stayed in school. But, yeah, Justin Leon, you know, he's a Conway kid, but he was kind of a...
He's a good glue guy.
Good glue guy, yeah. I mean, it may sound dumb, but you need somebody out there to set picks and get stick
right.
backs and be physical and maybe draw some fouls and things or foul some big guys. And yeah, and Barry just was a great offensive player for him, really. So yeah, I think Florida's going to be good, but I don't think they're going to be like a powerhouse. But you know, hey, they went to the Elite Eight last year and with a couple points of going to a Final Four. But
yeah,
so I think Mike White's got that program back on firm ground, and obviously Billy Donovan built Florida into a formidable program, and I think they're kind of back on track to where they're going to be a consistent NCAA tournament team and
yeah.
be a team to be reckoned with in the SEC.
It'll be interesting to see. I haven't looked recently, I guess, how quickly and how well Egbunu, their big guy, comes back because he tore his ACL last year, and he's a big part of what
yeah,
they do.
Yeah, so. Transferred from Michigan. I think he's going to be okay, but you never know. I mean, that's obviously a serious injury, and you have to jump a lot in basketball and run a lot, so
right.
we'll see how it goes. But hopefully he'll be okay.
Yeah, I put Missouri 5, so a little bit – a little bit lower than our resident Missouri grad. But, that's the thing. Like, anybody, I don't think Kentucky's grip on the top of the SEC is as strong as it was. And really, this is supposed to be, you would think this sets up to be the deepest it's been in a while. So, really, any of these teams can probably slot them in anywhere and make a case for them. Like, talent-wise, Missouri's going to be as good as anybody. And you, like you mentioned, so how do you say his last name? Perrier? Is that?
Perrier, I think.
Perrier?
P-U-R-Y-E-A.
Yeah.
Kevin Perrier.
I mean, he wasn't a great player last year,
right.
but you put other good guys around him, he's a nice role
right.
player. He can fill a role for
them. Well,
and
you remember Jordan Barnett, who was from St. Louis, and he went to Texas, and he transferred back to Missouri, got eligible in January. I think he averaged about 13 points or something. He shot a lot. One thing talking to Konzo Martin was, I got the impression, he didn't just flat out say it, but like this
he's got
to have a better, well, he has to have a better shot selection. Of course,
yeah.
with the Porter brothers there and some of the other kids they're bringing in, you know, he probably doesn't need to be shooting as many
right.
shots. But once again, I think he's a good player that will benefit from having other good players around him. So I just think they've got a nice mix, and we'll see.
I put Missouri 5, so did you put Arkansas 5?
I put Arkansas 5.
So people are going to be less upset at you than they are at me.
I guess. And, you know, I do think it's kind of – I mean, the SEC I think is going to be pretty balanced. I mean, I don't know if they'll have – I think the Aggies – I do an AP preseason AP poll. I'll probably put A&M and maybe around 10th. I'll probably put Arkansas – or not, I'll probably put A&M – Kentucky, Missouri, and Florida on my top 20.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
They're top 25, I think. I think that, man, maybe I'm being an SEC homer there. But, yeah, I picked Arkansas 5th because, obviously, they lost some really good players. You know, Moses Malone was a
Moses Malone.
Player.
Moses Malone, he's our rebounding fool.
Well, yeah, that would have been Moses Kingsley, sorry, another great Moses. They had Moses Kingsley,
yeah.
who was a great rim protector, rebounder, you know, could score. Even though his stats went down a little bit, I think because he had
his impact play. Was huge.
Don't just because he's not going to be in the NBA, at least right now, don't. And Dusty Hans, obviously, you know, great shooter, big offensive force. And then Manny Watkins, you know, he obviously improved his jump shot to where he's actually hitting threes, but
right.
he was a great defensive player, very versatile, could guard bigger guys. They're going to miss him a lot. I mean, and maybe some people didn't give him the credit he deserved because he was, you know, his dad was on the coaching staff, Melvin Watkins. But Manny was a really, really good college player. I'll just put it that way. And so they're going to miss all those guys. But I think, you know, with Macon and Barford, their second year in the program from JUCO, obviously adding these young players, especially, you know, Daniel Gafford.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have some other, you know, pretty good players. Anton Beard is, I think he's going to have a good senior year after, you know, having some issues his sophomore year, which kind of hurt him that year. And I think maybe he wasn't as good as he should have been as a junior.
Lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, he's lost like 18 pounds or something. Or I guess 20-some pounds if I did my math right. He's lost a lot of weight. Yeah, he looks pretty buff. Yeah, and they're going to have five seniors or six if Orlando Cook comes back.
Right.
And, you know, okay, Trey Thompson's not going to make anybody's All-SEC team.
Oh, man, he's just a great player.
He's a really solid guy, very underrated game because he passes the ball so well, very unselfish, and probably needs to shoot more because he shoots about 80% or something from the field. So they're going to have five seniors, which is a rarity. And so that there are just a lot of things. I think Mike's got the pro, like I was saying about Michael White, having Florida, you know, on firm ground. I think Mike Anderson's got Arkansas on firm ground. So I like Arkansas's team a lot. I just think it speaks to how good the SEC is in basketball now, that if there are other years, Arkansas might be picked, you know, higher. But
right.
To me, they're fifth, you know.
Yeah.
Right now, just in my personal poll, just an opinion.
I think they could finish anywhere from maybe third to sixth or seventh. I put them sixth.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I was kind of – I didn't know what to expect from Gafford because, you know, you never know how high school is going to translate. But, man, seeing him out there, and it's just practice, so, you know, it's not like a – it's not a game setting. You don't really know how everything translates. But, man, he's so athletic. He's so long. I don't know that he's going to, you know, instinctually, it takes a while to adjust to the speed of D1 ball. But I think he can do a lot of what Moses did. And he's got a much higher ceiling just because he's so, so athletic. You talked to, like, Trey Thompson. It's like, man, this guy's crazy. Like, and he's got to guard him every day in practice, you know. And I think how he develops and is able to contribute is going to be a big deal. And they got to have those sophomores. CJ Jones, Adriel Bailey both have to be contributors. Maybe not necessarily starters, but guys who can play, you know, 18, 20 minutes a game at least.
Yeah, it's interesting. They don't have a junior class, I don't believe.
Right.
So you're right. They do need those sophomores to help fill in some gaps for them. And I think they'll be ready to do that. You know, Arkansas didn't really have superstars, but I think they got a lot of really good players, and they got a lot of experience. And those are two things I like.
So if you put them fifth, I put them sixth, that means they'll probably be around there. But it seems like Mike Anderson teams tend to overachieve what they get picked in the SEC. So that'll be interesting. We have to go to football. So let's quickly, well, I guess run through your 1-5. Who'd you go 1-5 real quick? Just list them off.
Oh, for the teams?
Yeah.
A&M was 1.
Right.
Kentucky was 2. Missouri was 3. Florida 4. Arkansas 5.
Okay. So you went that, and I went Kentucky, A&M, Alabama 3, Florida, Missouri, Arkansas. So you think it's a 6-team league? Like, would you bet on 6 team? Who's your number 6 team?
Alabama.
Okay.
And, yeah, I tell you, you know, there's other years where the coaches will say, oh, we need to get 6 or 7 or 8 teams in, and you're, like, rolling your eyes and their noses are growing.
It's legit,
like,
this year.
Man.
Yeah.
You know you're going to be lucky to get 4 teams and you may only get 3. But, yeah, this year I think the SEC's better than it's been. Deeper. It's been
right.
There's much more depth. I mean, you can argue that, I think, effectively, that the basketball in the SEC is deeper than the football is in terms of top teams, you know. I mean, right now in the football, you think, well, there's Alabama and there's Georgia and there's kind of everybody else. And in basketball, I really think I think there'll be at least 6 SEC teams go to the NCAA tournament. It just wouldn't shock me if it was 7 or even 8.
Okay. So let's basically just go down the list for who you got left. You put Bama 6. Who'd you go 7?
Okay. I'm going to have to get my cheat sheet out here.
Yeah, get it out.
Okay. I picked Vanderbilt 7th because, once again, I think they've got a lot of good players back. Georgia 8.
Uh-huh.
Auburn 9. That's going to be kind of weird with what they got
going
on.
Yeah, that can fluctuate really.
They got talent, but they may have some distractions. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is 10. And this is hard here. Tennessee 11. South Carolina 12 because they lost so much from the Final 14.
Yeah.
And then Mississippi State 13th, and then LSU 14th.
I think the only big difference, and we talked about this Saturday a little bit, but I have Mississippi State 7th. I think they might have dark horse, what will probably look like a dumb pick. I think they might have the best backcourt in the SEC, potentially. Lamar Peters was the best player, best point guard at Adidas Nations this year. Quindary Witherspoon, we've seen him be a scorer.
Oh, yeah, we've seen him. He's been a hog killer. So,
yeah.
No,
they got to have bigs. They got to have inside play, but they'll be interesting. So I went with them 7. Auburn 8, that could fluctuate so much either way. Georgia 9, I just don't know what they have around Maiton. You know, if J.J. Caldwell was back, they'd be a lot higher. But who knows. I went Vandy 10. I think they'll be good. Luke Kornet obviously is a big piece. Seven-footers who lead are you know, great at three-point shooters and lead the SEC and blocks are close to are hard to find and replace. Ole Miss 11, Tennessee 12. I think South Carolina's going to be down this year. Frank Martin's a good coach, but, man, they lost a lot.
Right.
And then I think you put LSU 14, I assume.
I did, yeah.
Okay. Well, we are up against the gun time-wise, so let's get out of here. Is there any, Shakespeare's, did you replace in Missouri? I forget where we went in Kentucky, where we went to eat in Kentucky, the Italian place.
Joe Bologna's, which is, good Italian, very reasonably priced. It's
great.
It's in a synagogue. It's right in the city, yeah. In the middle of the city. Yeah, it's a fun place.
Is there any place in Nashville that compares to those? Like, what's your go-to Nashville spot?
There's a place, and it's nothing fancy, but downtown there's a place called Demo's, D-E-M-O. Nothing political that I'm aware of. But they've got good reasonably priced steaks, pasta. And then if you like chicken, boy, I cannot remember the name of the place, but they've got this Nashville, it's kind of like a small place that's downtown. If you Google hot chicken in Nashville, I just can't remember the name of it. And it's not healthy, but it tastes good.
Yeah, well, that's all that counts. So you're going to be in Nashville. We got the red-white game Friday. Next week we'll probably talk to you guys again. But, Bob, thanks for coming and doing this. And we'll get back with you guys next week after the red-white game. It's getting ready to kick up and the season's getting close.
Yeah, it's a crazy time of year with football, basketball overlap.
Yeah, very busy. All right, we'll see you guys later.